Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for November 15th, 2016. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and today I'm talking to Hagit Eldar Finkelman about a newly developed inhibitor of the kinase GSK3. Protein kinases are enzymes that control the function of other proteins by covalently attaching phosphate groups to these target proteins. Overactivation or abnormal activation of protein kinases causes many human diseases, so protein kinases are prime targets for the development of drugs. However, developing inhibitors that are both specific to a particular kinase and effective enough to really inhibit kinase activity in cells has proven rather challenging. Hagit Eldar Finkelman and her colleagues have developed a new type of kinase inhibitor that targets glycogen synthase kinase 3. This kinase, called GSK3 for short, participates in many different signaling networks, and it's been implicated in diverse pathologies, including neurodegenerative diseases, cognitive impairments, and cancer. Eldar Finkelman spoke to me from the Sackler School of Medicine at Tel Aviv University in Israel. Hi, Dr. Eldar Finkelman. Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast.
Hi.
Kinases are prime targets for drug development because their dysregulation is important in a lot of diseases. Most kinases get the phosphate group that they transfer to their target proteins from ATP. So a lot of kinase inhibitors that have been developed so far work by competing with ATP for binding to the kinase. What are some of the pros and cons about these types of inhibitors?
Right, so ATP competitive inhibitors are small molecules that bind to a well-defined pocket within the protein kinase. And therefore, it is relatively easy to design or to discover ATP competitive inhibitors, say by high-throughput screening, for example. So those inhibitors are usually very potent inhibitors for the protein kinases. But the problem is that because all protein kinases have ATP binding site, these inhibitors are limited in their specificity. And that means that they can inhibit or bind different protein kinases, and therefore this can result in undesired effects and toxicity. So this is why the ATP competitive inhibitors may not be suitable for clinical use.
In addition to binding to ATP, kinases, of course, have to bind to their substrates, the proteins that they modify. Some kinase inhibitors work by competing with substrates for binding to the kinase. What about those inhibitors?
So the field of substrate-competitive inhibitors is not well developed, I think because it's quite challenging to design or to develop substrate-competitive inhibitors. But those substrate-competitive inhibitors that were developed for protein kinases are indeed selective, but the problem that they are weak inhibitors. And this is because substrates binds weakly to the kinase because after phosphorylation, it should be dissociated from the kinase. So I think that the major problem of this type of substrate competitive inhibitors is they are very weak. The trick here is to design or develop substrate competitive inhibitors that will bind strongly to the kinase.
In this current work, you've developed a new type of inhibitor that targets the kinase GSK3. Before we talk about the inhibitor and how it works, first, why GSK3? Why do we need specific inhibitors for this particular kinase?
Yes, so I think the GSK3 is a unique kinase as compared to other protein kinases in many aspects. But let me mention one of its properties that, unlike other protein kinases, GSK3 is constitutively active in basal conditions. And now we have many studies and accumulated data that show that inhibition of GSK3 produces therapeutic effects in pathological disorders, particularly those of the nervous system. So I assume that hyperactive GSK3 cause detrimental effects, and therefore when we inhibit its activity, we produce those beneficial effects. So this is why the direction toward development of GSK3 inhibitors should be very promising in terms of drug development.
The GSK3 inhibitor that you describe in this current work is called L807MTS. How did you develop that inhibitor and how does it work?
So for many years, our laboratory developed substrate-competitive inhibitors, and our leading compound was the L803MTS. Now, L807MTS is also a substrate-competitive inhibitor, but the mechanism of its inhibition is completely different. The L807MET is actually a substrate. So it binds to the kinase, it is phosphorylated by the kinase, and when it becomes phosphorylated, it is converted in situ to an inhibitor. And this is completely different from other regular substrate or substrate-competitive inhibitors that are not phosphorylated by the enzyme. They just bind to the enzyme and block its activity. The advantage of such inhibitors or of the L807MET that on one hand, it is very potent, and on the other hand, it's highly selective because it acts like a substrate-competitive inhibitor.
So L807-METS is a little bit different because not only does it bind to the substrate recognition domain, it's also phosphorylated by the kinase. Does it remain associated with the kinase?
Yes, exactly. The idea here is that L807-METS is phosphorylated, and the phosphorylation converts it to an inhibitor. Namely, it is tightly bound to the enzyme and is not dissociated from the enzyme like other substrates, and therefore why it became a very potent inhibitor.
For other enzymes, there are these things called suicide substrates where the inhibitor becomes covalently attached to the kinase. Does L807-METS become covalently attached to GSK3?
No, it does not. It's actually a completely different mechanism. Only the phosphorylation of L807-METS tightened the binding to the enzyme and convert it to an inhibitor. But this change, it does not involve covalent attachment or any covalent reaction.
How does your inhibitor perform in vivo in an animal model?
So the composition of the inhibitor actually enables cell permeability and delivery to the brain. And if you look at the pharmacological properties of L807MTS, it is reasonably very good. Namely, it's stable in serum, it is stable in the circulation, and as I mentioned earlier, it can penetrate into the brain. Now, when we tested Alzheimer's disease animal models, and we treated them with the L807-METS, we observed a significant reduction in the beta-amyloid aggregates in the brains of these disease animals, and we also could detect an improvement in the cognitive skills and behavior skills of the animals.
How close are you to moving this inhibitor into clinical trials?
So I think we are close because we completed all the preclinical experiments that can be done in the university. Now what is required is to further establish the pharmacological properties of L807-METS and to test its safety in non-rodent animals or big animals. And for this, we need a strategic partner that will help us to develop this compound towards clinical phase.
Would developing similar types of inhibitors, that is, compounds that act as substrates for the enzyme and then their modification causes them to remain bound to the enzyme as an inhibitor, be feasible for other kinases?
So yes, I think this is possible, but one should understand the specific interaction of substrates with the binding site of the kinase. Once you understand this specific interaction, and in particularly recognize the elements that are important for the substrate dissociation, you can then design an inhibitor that will copy this interaction and prevent the dissociation from the kinase. So I think this is possible, and we should definitely try to develop such inhibitors for other protein kinases.
Hagit, thanks for speaking with us.
Okay, thank you, and goodbye.
That was Hagit Eldar-Finkelman discussing a paper published in the November 15th issue of Science Signaling by Lichtmarava and colleagues. You can read that article online at stke.sciencemag.org. The Science Signaling Podcast is a production of Science Signaling and the American Association for the Advancement of Science, advancing science, serving society. If you have any comments or questions, you can write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. I'm Annalisa Van Hook. On behalf of Science Signaling and AAAS, thanks for listening.